the Sunday Morning Linux Review. Starring Mary Talmadge, Tony Venus, and Matt Enders as the Beaver.
And this is episode 88, the Father's Day?
That's Father's Day. That's right. Episode 88, and well, we did talk about the piano aspect and the keyboard, but Father's Day trumps that.
All right.
And the name I wanted got voted down.
What, Death by Flatulence?
Yeah.
for obvious reasons.
Yeah. All right. So, Matt, what'd you do this week?
Let's see. What did I do this week?
You have no tales from the data center for us?
No tales from the data
center. Not even sudo bang bang?
No, not even sudo bang bang. The only thing I did this week was my picture was accepted on linuxbeard.com.
Ah.
So if you all want to see my picture, you go to linuxbeard.com.
And it's still in its untrimmed state.
Right.
Which apparently
That's
is...
That's a true Linux beard. Did you see the rest of them on there?
Yes, I did. Some of them are truly frightening, but... Some of them look pretty good. All right, so that pretty much sums up your work.
Yeah, it's been really, really slow at work. I got no stories. We're flashing all the 55, 48 switches just because there's a firmware bug in them. Check this out. They're a managed switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after 49.7 days of continuous uptime, they turn into a hub.
Oh, that's not good.
No!
How does that happen?
It just does.
After 49 days?
49.7. Our network engineer guy figured it out.
Wow.
They lose the config or they just...
They don't lose the config. The config's all still there. They just turn into a hub.
I bet there's a memory leak problem somewhere.
So, it's. Hmm. I think it's got something to do with the ARP table. I'm refreshing the ARP table, but...
Huh.
You should just every 30 days go and say, clear ARP.
No, we're just... We're in the process of flashing them all, and then we have to schedule the downtime with the customers to reboot them.
Okay.
Because it takes 5 minutes for them to reboot.
That is kind of weird.
And we have a lot of 5548 switches, Dell 5548.
I was going to ask who's the manufacturer, because 5548 didn't really resonate with me. Because I don't work in a data center.
You know what the
center.
Last two digits are?
48.
You know what they are?
48 ports.
Yeah, 48 port switches.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it's a.
What, do I qualify for some certification now?
No.
Right, now that I know that?
No, okay. Right.
All right.
Because 5524s have how many ports?
24.
Hey.
You're a genius.
Okay, right. Well, good. Thank you for finally acknowledging that, man.
I have the what I'm using here in my house is a Dell switch. It's unmanaged, but it has 26 ports.
So it's a something 26.
Yeah, it has 24, 10, 100 meg plus 2 gig.
Technically, then these have 32.
Yeah, because it has 4 gig ports or 4.
No, because it has.
Is it CBIC?
It has 4 uplink ports or stacking ports.
Yeah.
But we only have 2 of them plugged in. The other 2 are just empty IPF.
Oh, yeah.
Slots.
Cool.
Good. Excellent. So, Tony. You have a story.
It's a little bitty one. It's not...
Okay.
But last night, the assistant manager came in for a minute. And we have a whiteboard in our office where we draw out, like when we're doing something complicated with a really complicated cluster, or if we have a networking project where we draw diagrams out and stuff. And there was an old diagram up there that had been up there for months we didn't need anymore. So he erased it all and drew this really effed up looking diagram that with terms on it that just didn't make any sense at all.
Huh.
And I said, "What are you doing, Nick?" And he goes, "I'm trolling Carl. Because Carl's going to come in and see this network diagram and go, what is this? Why is there a network diagram up here? And I wasn't involved in writing it. And what is this term? I don't recognize this term."
Oh, that's funny.
So,
sounds like a good prank.
It is. It's going
to be excellent. We hope to hear about it next week. how it went.
That's funny.
All right.
So. Carl doesn't listen to the show either, so it's not going to get spoiled.
Okay, good.
Eric, don't tell him.
Yeah. All right, so, Tony?
So, I wasn't too big of a week, except for I tried to upgrade the computer we use for broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do that upgrade, and it gave me problems every step of the way. Because I want to remove one of the hard drives, make it quieter.
Every step of the way.
Yeah. Well, the one hard drive's loud.
I want mine.
I have a dual video card, a dual head video card, and the video that head I'm using on it right now is head 2, and no video comes out from the live CD. So I have to get cables out, and I just haven't gotten that far yet.
You could get video to come out in the live CD. You just have to go.
Is that the?
In and edit the config file.
Right. Or I can just get a VGA cable out
and
plug it in.
Xorg.com file?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
that's
possible.
Wait
a minute, that's Ubuntu, though, isn't it?
Mint.
I thought they... Oh, yep. Mint. Do they have an Xorg.com?
Yeah.
Or you just
there's
add
a,
one?
There's a stub. There's
okay,
a stub.
You just add it to that, and it'll read it.
And then,
there you go, Tony. Now you can...
Well, then I went to plug everything back in to boot, and it wouldn't boot. Oh, like, oh, no.
All right, Matt, do you have a solution for that?
Shoot it. It's running Ubuntu anyway.
The root heart file system got filled up by video somehow, and I don't know who would have done that.
No, we don't know either. That was that earlier story.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to copy videos for my father-in-law, and he yanked a drive, and for some reason it copied to the root instead of stopped copying.
You would have think
strange.
That the copy would have just failed. From that point forward, but
it copied to the media folder instead of
just went up one folder.
Yeah,
one
but it shouldn't do that by itself.
Yeah. Anyway, so I blew away those and everything's working now.
Maybe it was configured to do that.
It shouldn't be. It's retarded.
Here's the thing is
because then shit'll go anywhere, everywhere, and you won't know where it is.
Well, here's the odd part is that if it was mounted, it was mounted as owner. As the user, not the root user, right?
When I went to mount it, it wouldn't mount originally.
Oh, so you mounted it as
I mounted it as root.
Well, there you go.
And then I was copying the files as root.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Still shouldn't have written to one directory above it. As soon as that directory no longer existed, it should have gone, this directory doesn't exist, and worked out.
Hmm. I agree.
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's either that or
that
I had a typo.
That would be the expected behavior.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. What was that? Either that or a typo?
Or I had a typo.
Oh, well. In that case...
He tried to slide that one in. Did you catch that? No.
Anyway, so right. I cleaned it up, and it's working now.
Oh, good.
But hopefully by this time next week, we'll be running Mint 15 on there.
Mm-hmm.
Quieter. I unplugged a couple fans, too, so it'll be even better. And then that'll be it.
Better but hotter.
So, Mary, what'd you do this week?
Oh, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. I was just going to say something about files filling up a hard drive. I remember years ago, apparently there was some kind of errors with my X session, and I didn't realize it. Or if I did, I didn't know what it was. But there's an X session errors file that apparently
in var
that just fills.
That's why you always put var on a separate partition.
I know that now. This, we're talking 6-7 years ago when I was really a noob and didn't know all this, but I ended up in trouble because I suddenly didn't have any room and I couldn't figure out. I had it's like 2 gigabytes or something. It was just a huge file, and it screwed things up until I fixed it, and I had no idea until I think I did one of those graphical file manager type things that'll show you the pie slices. And there was this huge pie slice. I thought, what file is that? Oh, it's a .dot file. No wonder I didn't see it. And then I went in and figured it out. And
yeah.
There is everybody.
I was a better person.
Everyone has done this at one time or another. I filled up the root partition on a server once because it was the very first time I ever tried to do an rsync, and I wound up with, and I had the rsync directory, which was a separate drive, mounted under the root partition, so it became recursive.
Oh.
And wow, just kind of loop back.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it just takes one time.
Yes.
For
you
most of us.
You only make that mistake once.
Oh, well, anyway, so getting back to what I did. Remember last week during our BSD show, I got BSD running on that little laptop, and I think I reported I didn't have wireless, and I also wasn't able to build from the FreeSB ports, so I decided to take those on as little projects to try to get that fixed. Well, I'm happy to report that I do have wireless working in it. I'm not exactly, it's like it sort of fixed itself, and what I ended up doing is learning what the command is to list out the modules and all of that, which was very helpful. So when I did that and took a look, it was loaded, and then I tested my wireless and it was working. So it could have been, you know, something up front, right, with just the...
Which means it had to have been there from the start, because
it was. I'm pretty sure
BSD,
it was.
In BSD, you cannot load modules. You can't do in Linux how you load a module into the kernel. You can't do that in BSD. They're either there or they're not there.
Oh, you have to put them in at the very start?
No. It's monolithic. They're either there or they're not there.
Well, I think that it was there. I'm going to say that it was there from the beginning. I'm not sure why it didn't get hooked in and start providing wireless services. But the good news is it's working now. I've rebooted about, you know, a dozen times. And it's working perfectly. I also was able to, although it's kind of weird, I was able to build a program from the FreeBSD ports through that little tool that they've got in PCBSD.
Called ports?
It's called Easy PBI. Yeah, I was using the earlier version, so I went in, I did some research, I installed version 2, and after 4.5 hours... it ends up still failing, but here's the thing, is it did install and it runs, so there's something going on, and again, it's just something I'll continue to investigate, but the program I was compiling did run, and it's listed there, it works.
Did you know that in FreeBSD, which is what PCBSD is,
right,
they have two ways to do packages. In most BSDs, OpenBSD has two ways to do packages. You don't have to use the port system. They have pre-compiled binaries that you can use.
Yes, and I did report that. Those are the PBI files,
right,
push button installer files.
Right.
Yeah. They've got, I think, about 1,200 different programs, apps that are available through that.
Should be everything that's in ports.
Everything
that's in ports should also be a binary.
I don't know about that. I'll check into that. But the good news is when I went in looking to see what was already compiled and ready to go, I think about 98% of what I typically use is there, which is really nice. Recall is there, so I got that installed. So one of these days, I'm going to show up, and this is not going to have Linux on it anymore.
No.
I'm thinking.
She's going to be our BSD chick.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, so I did that, and then I also spent some time doing something else that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show.
All right.
So there you have it.
Cool. Well, all right.
All right.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
So this week we do have a release candidate on Saturday, the 15th of June, 2013 at 12:12 Hawaii Standard Time. And I'm not sure where...
Would that be daylight time?
I am not... No, they do not go on daylight time. Because they're right at the equator.
Because
it doesn't matter.
Because they're in paradise, and why would you even need to change?
And I am not sure where he is, but the offset on his post equates to Hawaii, so...
Okay.
Linus Torvalds released kernel 3.10-RC6, and this is what he had to say about it. Another week, another RC, and I didn't even need to curse all that much at people. Sure, I talked smack about some of your hamsters, and I declined a couple of pull requests, but let's face it was pretty half-hearted. Most of the time, things were good, which is not to say that RC6 could not have been smaller. And I'll probably be even more upset next week if you try and push stuff that really shouldn't go in by now. But things are better than in RC5. And while I'm traveling again, this time the internet works better. And equally importantly, I actually have my release scripts and cup install on my Pixel now. So the tarballs and patches are going out as I write this for all you Luddites that still use ancient technology. But even if you're a Luddite and haven't yet learned the guilty pleasures of a Git workflow, you do want to run the latest kernel, I'm sure. So go out and test that. You can can't find any regressions because we have fixes all over, even in if the diff may be dominated by a DTC parser patch that comes from changing the shipped files to be generated by Bison 2.5 rather than 2.4. Most of the rest is pretty small, even if it's all over. Architectures, x86, PowerPC, MIPS, ARM, S390, file systems, Ceph and XFS, networking, driver updates, sound, wireless, MD, GPU, and block.
Take a breath.
And that's what he had to say about it. Wow. The main line is at 3.10-RC6. Our stable updates on Thursday, the 13th of June, 2013, at 10:46 Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.0.82 with 18 files changed, 149 lines inserted, and 43 lines deleted. On Thursday, the 13th of January, 2013, at 10:12 Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.4.49 with 41 files changed, 286 lines inserted, and 118 lines deleted. On Thursday, the 13th of June, 2013, at 10:55 Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.9.6 with 89 files changed, 741 lines inserted, and 274 lines deleted. And our kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Crowe-Hartman himself. He said, astute users will notice the kernel code name change for 3.9.6. Thanks to Alec Palvey and the Core OS team that put me up for a few days this week while I was visiting the Bay Area. Thanks so much for the wonderful bandwidth and company. But next time I visit, I'm bringing a squirrel trap so I can sleep in past the crack of dawn. Greg Crowe-Hartman. For those not astute enough to have noticed, the new code name for 3.9 kernel is Black Squirrel Wake Up Call.
Oh, black squirrels, yeah. I got black squirrels.
That's funny.
Brown squirrels, gray squirrels.
That is the kernel news.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
Sunday the 9th. We have ROSA Linux 2012 R1, which is the desktop fresh.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, Mary, you really liked ROSA.
Yeah, I did, and I'm thinking of, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it's rising up on my list. I'm thinking of doing a review of it. Their primary desktop, and not because their primary desktop is KDE, but this particular release, as I think it may state there, it was upgraded to KDE. Here's the odd thing. It was upgraded to KDE 4.10.3, the latest version as of the end of May, but the Office Suite is just 3.6.6, which is the latest stable version. So it's a little perplexing to me why they went with the latest KDE release, but the LibreOffice version that's on this release is still in the, you know, the threes. I think 3.6.6 was the last release in the 3.x series. So I don't know. I thought that was a little weird, but they also have got in this release too a new widget called All Desktops, which is kind of like that Expo where you can back out of your desktop and it'll display them all as like a grid, and then you can select which one you want to go to. So
sure.
And I think they've also got Steam in this one, and so that's kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Going on also on the 9th, we have Point Linux 13.04.1, which they are a Debian-based distro with Mate 1.4 as a desktop. And I don't remember hearing about this one before.
It's funny you say that, because I didn't either, and I checked. This is their first appearance on DistroWatch's, and I have that as one of my little notes, because I did a little checking. First appearance on DistroWatch's front page. So you're absolutely right. So there goes another one off the list that I can't use for Is It Alive? but I took a look at this. I actually did download it and ran the live version. And that desktop, boy, I tell you what, it looks exactly like GNOME 2. I mean, that was, I think that's what they wanted to go with, a traditional look and feel. And it really looks nice and crisp. I was running, because I did it on my Zorizon, not the NVIDIA, the Nouveau driver, video driver. Mm-hmm. But it looked very, very nice. And that was their intent, is to have that mate just fully mimic the GNOME 2 look. And they did. And they did it nicely, too. If you're into that kind of classic look,
yeah,
I think you would find Point Linux a good distro to use.
Very cool.
And they, by the way, are running LibreOffice 4.0.3. So that's kind of odd. Here they go for the classic older look, and they're running a later version of LibreOffice. So
yeah.
Go figure.
All right, going on, we have Zorin OS 7. And it's Zorin. I don't know. It's been on there quite a few times.
It's Zorin.
They're using GNOME Shell based.
Well, I'll tell you what they do. Because I reviewed them about a year ago. Remember, they've got that feature or this little utility that allows you to change the look of your desktop. I think they've got 6 available where you can make it look like Windows, Ubuntu, GNOME, KDE. There's a number of different looks that you could put. They've got written these scripts that will just transition it for you.
Hmm.
I tested that out. I thought it was pretty slick.
Yeah.
But they've got... I didn't mean to interrupt, Tony. Did you have something else to say about
that? No, that was about it.
Because they've got... you can go with the free download, which is kind of their core download, or you can opt to pay... It's about 10 euros, which is probably about, 13, 14 U.S. dollars to download the premium one. And they also have this seems to be maybe, I don't know if this is a trend or not, but they have what are called paid tech support tickets. So for a minimum donation of 5 euros, which again is probably $7, you get 3 support tickets to make use of. So I think that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But it's a nice fully functional system. And I would say if somebody's moving from Windows...
Yeah.
It'd be a good one.
That's cool. All right. And then on the 10th, we have Uber Student 3.0.
Uber Student.
Yeah, it's Ubuntu based. And I remember you talking about this. You did that review. It sounded really cool. It's based on, it's set up for learning and teaching with a lot of tools and like college and advanced kind of stuff. And just every tool you talked about, it's just packed full of stuff. It sounded really cool.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about this is that they have downsized the DVD downloadable. It's about a gig smaller than what it used to be. And apparently, the reason why they did this is they wanted to avoid Qt dependencies. So certain things have come out. You're not going to see Skype or Google Earth in there anymore. Not that they were, I don't know if they were Qt based or not, but they're also have dispensed with Ubuntu's update manager.
So they're, what are they trying to do? Be a straight up GTK distribution?
Well, that was kind of the take I was, the impression I was coming away from, reading about this, that was, take that, Qt.
Well, what's that other one that is the straight up Qt?
And avoids... Chakra.
And is it Chakra?
Yeah, they only KDE apps, nothing.
Right.
No, yeah, they had them in the bundles. And then remember, they've got that little directory structure now,
right,
which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, actually, speaking of that, and I don't mean to derail the list here.
Yes, she does.
I think Haiku, Haiku, the BEOS, the BOS distro.
The BOS clone.
Yeah. They are reconfiguring their package manager, and it sounds like... they're kind of going something like that. Going any further because I don't know much more about it.
Cool. All right, on the 13th, we have Peppermint OS 4. And Peppermint OS is a lightweight, easy-to-use Linux desktop based on Ubuntu 13.04. And what it doesn't say in that first sentence is that they are primarily web-centric, which is very cool. It's kind of like Chrome OS, but with based on Ubuntu.
Yeah, they make heavy use of the site-specific browsers, SSBs. You familiar with that, Matt?
Sure.
I tried it a couple years ago, and it was before they had that.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually opened up a full web browser, and you went to that stuff.
Your apps open up. Yeah, the browser, it opens up in a browser, but it opens up in a way that it doesn't look exactly like a browser. Yeah. I mean, it's your app, but it's in a browser window. And they're originally, when they first started doing this, I think Peppermint One was based on Mozilla's Prism SSB.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think Prism is not, based on what I saw, I don't think Prism is actively updated or it's not available. It's kind of outdated or obsolete. So what they've done now is they go to Google's Chromium, and you manage it through an application they put together called Ice. Did you take a look at that? I did not see that. No. Yeah, it's what it does is you go in and you tell it what you want to install, and then it creates the menu entry, it creates the various touch points that you want in your distribution, and then if you want to remove it, you can go back in there and just easily remove it.
That's cool.
Yeah, but so they call
it's
Ice.
Web-centric, so it's things like your Office Suite is, what is it, Google Apps or Google Docs, and your mail is like a web mail,
you know,
it takes you to instead of...
That's a good question. I didn't have time to really go in and find out exactly where those are running, if they're running that way, if they're running locally, but... This will create, as I said earlier, this will create those little menu entries. But you remember Uber Student, and I said that they are 1 gig less in size, and that's because they had gotten some complaints from people that a lot of the menu entries were basically web apps, and they didn't like that. And they also had changed their repository from Ubuntu to their own repository, and so that is the reason why. But I wanted to mention that. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting approach, and you know they've got that little custom ICE utility for managing this. So
cool. Yeah,
I'd be curious if anybody's listening in who's run this, what their reaction is to it.
Yeah, and it's lightweight, so they said it uses the code base for LXDE, but now it's XFWM4 instead of OpenBox.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's very cool.
Right.
All right, so going on. On the 13th also, we have WindowMaker Live 2013.
It's alive. 06-05.
Yeah. And WindowMaker, I've never used it. I've never really seen anybody use it.
I've used WindowMaker, the window manager,
but
it's so Spartan. I'm very surprised that they're wrapping a distro specifically in WindowMaker.
Well, yeah, it's Debian-based, and it's just all wrapped around WindowMaker.
Yeah, and I went out to their site, and they said, we're not dead, or worse to that effect, hey, we're still here, we're still here. And I think what they wanted to do is to put out a distro just to showcase it. And one thing, they've got an option that I think that the default kernel is 3.2, the 3.2 branch or series, but there is an option to use the 3.8 if you want to. And
what about the 3.9? I'm running 3.9.
Well, they don't have that available yet. but they also said, and I'm kind of quoting here, another requisite for WindowMaker Live is to also is to do without mostly pointless toys, games, and gadgets. I thought, well, there I go. I won't be loading this. In order to make room for much more useful system administration features. And they include things like MC, rsync, screen, SSH, FS, Vim, Mutt, you know, all those good tools.
Speaking of games, did you see Mad Dog's latest?
No.
He said that
lack Steam of, for Linux is evil?
No, lack of games on Linux is the reason that it hasn't attracted much more desktop attention, much more broad desktop support.
Oh, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
But I think that's been kind of a common thread over the last few years as people, you know, this is the year of the Linux desktop. Oh, I guess it wasn't the year of the Linux desktop. And why is that? Oh, because we don't have games.
Yep.
And that's true, though. It's, you know, it's easy to suck people in because games are addictive. You know, they go to that primal part of your brain and, you know, just kind of suck you in. I won't tell you about the game.
Unless it's just a simple game of Mahjong, I'm not there.
I kind of agree. There's a certain kinds of games I don't
play games. The last video game I seriously played was
Pong?
Space Invaders. No, Space Invaders at the stand-up arcade game. That's it, man.
I used to have one of those in my When I lived in Minnesota, I had one upstairs. I got it from somebody really cheap. It was a full arcade version. It was in, upstairs on the, you know, and we'd play. Oh, it was fun.
Space Invaders is cool.
It was rigged to play for free, of course. Right.
Well, you had the key to the coin box. You could have just kept putting the same quarter back in over and over.
Yeah, it's easier just to play for free instead of doing that. Yeah, you're right. All right, so we're going to move on.
Moving on to our last one on the list, which is Parted Magic, 2013._06_14, which is the latest version of the Project Specialist Live CD for disk management and data rescue. And I tend to use the G Parted instead of Parted Magic. But yeah, these kind of tool discs are always
always helpful,
very useful.
And yeah. I'm going to be taking everything off this drive and kind of redoing it when I put BSD on here. So I want to make sure whatever tool I use correctly copies everything, because I think I've told you where I've ended up copying the folder structure, but there have been times where the files weren't in there and it could have been a permissions issue. It could have been some weird thing going on, but I'll be very much paying attention to that when I make that change. But one thing about Gparted with this release, their erase disk program now has logging, which makes sense to me, I guess. If you're going to erase a disk, you probably want to create a log of what's going on there. And for users that require RDP access,
Ramina
has been added to the desktop.
You know, I use Ramina at work all the time, but I've been having a problem with it where I can RDP into one server, but I can't RDP into another one.
Hmm.
It just won't connect. But then if I fire up my Windows VM, I can RDP from the Windows VM into that other server just fine.
What version of is your server that you cannot connect to?
Are they
to?
Both the same?
Is it version? 2008 or newer?
Windows 7.
Oh, okay.
Because
Windows 7 server. I think server 2008.
Okay.
And the other one is it also 2008 or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And they're both configured alike as far as.
Well, one is ours that we use. We have a Windows server we use for like telnetting to the PDUs, so we can log into it and start a telnet session. But
telnet.
Well, I know that.
And then the other one was the customers. I can get into the customers, but I can't get into ours.
Well, maybe there's a security something or other.
Yeah, with the new version, they can enable. You can enable encryption.
No, because I can
another, you know, a newer version.
That's not it. Because it's the same. I'm using like the same settings in.
Yeah, that is a puzzle. That's the kind of puzzles I like to solve.
It's Linux. Linux is sometimes just a pain in my ass.
I say that all the time now that I'm moving to BSD.
Because I'll give you another example. The VPN we use for work. Exact same settings on this laptop.
This is actually the Sunday morning Linux bash review.
And on my, work laptop. Yeah. Exact same settings. Work laptop connects to the VPN, no problem. This laptop won't connect.
Yeah. Well, what's the commonalities? You know what makes me think? It isn't the exact same settings.
It is the exact.
I am with Tony.
I have done them side by side. Right. I went through it for hours yesterday.
Well, there's
You're missing something. Think about it. Work secure laptop connects.
No. It's not work secured. I installed Fedora on it myself.
But it's your work laptop.
Right, it's, but it's, okay.
they provided
it's set
the
up exactly like this one.
Set up
I've installed it. I've installed it all myself.
So is there some kind of hardware? You know, in other words, maybe there's like, and again, I'm going to give this, this is not how it's done, but like there's like the Mac, no, again, you know, some hardware ID or something that, no, okay. He's kind of grimacing and shaking his head for those of you who can't see
I would check version numbers of your client and see
if it's Fedora 18. I updated them both. 100%.
Is that the Schrodinger's cat?
What? No. Spherical cat.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right.
All right.
And I didn't get Keith's email.
It just came.
I know. I didn't get it.
Okay.
You're not part of the in crowd.
So something's not working where I'm not getting show at SMLR emails.
Well, and then you're also having problems with Ramina, so I think there's... You know,
And RDP, I think, is your computer.
I
think it's not my computer.
All right. So where do we leave off on?
That was it because
that little comment I made.
Yeah.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
Number five, we have Zorin with 1381.
And trending up.
Number four is Ubuntu with 1447.
And trending down.
Number three is OpenSUSE with 1450.
And trending up.
Number two is Debian with 1805.
And trending down.
And in the number one spot is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 3026.
And trending down.
And we have an announcement to make.
Yes, I noticed that.
Moving down to number eight is
Magia. About freaking time.
I still think wistfully of that breakfast I won in that bet. About a year ago, actually. A little over a year ago.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
May of 2012.
I can't believe I'm still freaking hearing about it.
All right.
So, there we go. Yeah, so, and I, normally I would do my distro review this at this point in time, but I don't have one this week. I don't.
And that's all right.
We don't need one every week.
I think, yeah, exactly. And I think I've never seen any other show do a weekly distro review.
Well, DistroWatch does.
Oh, DistroWatch does?
But it's a different person every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the same person doing it every week.
Yeah, I got burnt out. But you know, we have still, I think, engaging conversation about the ones that are on the list.
Yeah.
So.
And I appreciate that, Mary.
You're welcome. Hey, you know, something I didn't realize, and I'm going to mention this, and maybe you guys are aware of it.
You can get the senior discount at IHOP.
Yeah.
Just taking a shot in the dark there. No.
I'm going to be taking a shot, too. Okay. that was pretty darn funny, actually. Because, you know, I always appreciate really, really cleverly done humor, even if I am the object of the humor, even if I'm the one that's getting the...
Yep. That's a sign that you have a good sense of humor, Mary.
Exactly, because I love humor. It's all right. Well, now I completely forgot. so maybe I am entitled to this.
Yeah, there you go.
How old do you have to be?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I just pulled something right out.
I will admit to saying that I do get the AARP mailings. That happens when you hit 50.
50.
Yeah.
You have to be 50.
Believe me, it's gonna shock you, Tony, one day when you hit that, and suddenly you get these, and you think, how in the heck did they get my name? I'm sure they went to some open birth records.
Except Tony will join CMET.
What is that?
It's AARP for people of the conservative bent.
You think so? Just because I have an NRA membership doesn't mean I'm going to go that far.
I think AARP has got much more clout than whatever that other thing is. I didn't even hear of it.
That's because you're a flaming liberal.
I'm a moderate.
You're a member of AARP? You supported all that stuff? You're a flaming liberal.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, man. I'll go right along with that. Because this conversation can go nowhere but down from here. Right.
I say we continue on.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
First up, we have MariaDB coming to RHEL in version 7.
Ooh.
This follows the announcement by the Fedora project earlier this year that they were moving to MariaDB. As is the case with all changes in RHEL, this will propagate to the clones like CentOS. After the acquisition by Oracle, there were numerous complaints about how the arguably best open source database was being managed. In response, one of the three original creators of MySQL, Ulf, Michael, Monty, Wideness, forked MySQL into MariaDB.
Wait, was that one person?
Yes.
Ulf, Michael.
His name is AKA. Ulf. His name is Ulf Michael, AKA Monty.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It would have been helpful, Matt, if you had put an AKA, also known as.
Yes. I just did it parenthetically in the notes there. So if you're reading it, you get it. Maybe not if you're listening.
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe we should have.
Right. Go ahead. See the error of my ways now.
Good. Go ahead, man.
Glad you could point it out.
Right. His company, Monty Program, merged with SkySQL, reuniting the three original developers of MySQL, with most major community distributions having already announced that they are switching to MariaDB. With RHEL's announcement, this means the corporate distributions can't be far behind. This is what Arne Lentz, MySQL's first employee in Australia, had to say about it. I presume there is not much love lost between Red Hat and Oracle, particularly since the Oracle Linux stuff started, but I'm pretty sure this move won't make Oracle any happier. So, you know, that is the first major commercial distribution that's totally moved off of MySQL. Next up, we have non-Unity Ubuntu derivatives Fear Mirror.
I saw that, and I was going to talk about it. Okay.
With Canonical moving to Mirror over the next year to replace Xorg, derivatives like Kubuntu, Lubuntu, and Zubuntu are wondering what they're going to do. The KDE developers have flat out said they are not going to expend any energy on supporting Mirror. The options for these red-headed stepchildren... Okay, all you gingers out there, send your hate mail to show@smlr.us. Attention, Matt.
Attention, that's right. I'm not sure that was there. Or you can send it directly to Matt.
Yeah. The options for these redheaded stepchildren are rather bleak. They can try to use Mir or Wayland and hope everything works, or end of life the distro. Jonathan Rydell, the Kubuntu developer, is hoping that using Debian's Wayland packages will be able to coexist with Mir and work. What can I say? But good luck, guys, and maybe it's time to just switch to Debian.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting in the next 12 months to see what happens.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of those third-party distros are going to find that it's working with Mir is not going to work. You know, so...
Yeah, and I'm concerned especially for Mint also. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll tumble from that number one spot.
Yeah, because Mint will switch to Debian. Switch to Debian, and they'll start.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense because
they already have a Debian distro. They just don't pay any attention to it.
You know,
and they'll start doing that now.
Yeah.
Did Ubuntu actually announce that they're going to completely drop X support?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because I heard that they're going to go to it, but I never heard the other part.
X is not going to be included.
So you for sure you saw that in writing?
Yes.
Right. Wow. I just had to clarify that because you know Matt. Well, he'll speak with vigor.
let me mark that time to so we can go back to it in a month.
Yeah, remember we'll go back in the time
machine.
Feel free.
They may change their mind between now and then.
But they
have said that they are completely moving off of Xorg to Mir. They were originally going to move to Wayland, but then they have kiboshed that to move to Mir. Which they're the only distribution using the Mir windowing system, so it's kind of ridiculous. But they want to be Ubuntu; they don't want to be Linux.
Wasn't Mir a name of a Soviet space station or something? Huh? Was it the one that he went?
It was the one he visited. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I was just guessing at that.
But you know why they're the only one using it? It's because they're the one developing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is no one else on board with it. No one else is developing it. No one is supporting it.
Although that's kind of the way that progression happens, though. Nobody else wants to use it until it's proven stable. And then when it's proven stable, then everybody's going to move to it.
I think
so we're going to see. Right.
Well, but I think it's a valid thought, though, Tony.
Right. And this could be a really good thing.
But
it could be a really bad thing. Because X is really old. And there's a lot of things that could run better. I mean, it runs pretty good right now. I have no complaints.
Although
in a year, to say 5 years from now, when we're using Mir and say, we could have done all these things and nobody knew it, and so
could've
you just don't
what?
Know. That you don't know. You don't know what you're missing until it's not there.
That's the way. See, that's the way to get them. Is we create this vast, vague.
Yeah, vast and vague.
You can't grab onto anything in there.
Okay. Yeah, I can.
That's our plan, Tony.
All right.
Huh? But no, I did see that. I made a note of it. Believe me, because you know I run Kubuntu on I run Ubuntu on my media server, but I'm gonna be taking that down, I think, and putting FreeNAS on there. Or NAS for free, whatever it is. Because I'm going to make it into just a NAS system. And then put my Raspberry Pi and run.
NAS for free. That's free BSD.
Exactly. I tell you, I'm moving. I am moving.
All right.
Of course, I was very... Remember the Chakra bandwagon?
Yes.
I'm not completely off. I do like Chakra, but I obviously came back.
When Ubuntu folds up their wagon, that's where you can head over to at Chakra.
Or Vsedo. You remember?
Vast
one. Vsedo. No. Vsedo.
You know, Vsedo is a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
And isn't the developer the Vast One? Yeah.
Yep. Terry. Yep. So.
Yeah.
And I think I gave that information to
is
somebody.
Is that because of his girth? Why is he
we went through that already, and he said no. But I think you got to get out of that.
I need a picture. Prove it.
All right. Well, I've got a few things. I guess we might as well get going on through here. All right. I'm going to go back up to the top. And this is one we started talking about a little bit. And I think it merits further discussion. And that is Office for iPhone. You know, Microsoft is releasing Office 365 for the iPhone.
Yeah. Because Microsoft lately has very much enjoyed pissing into the wind.
But here's the thing, is that it's being released for the iPhone, the smaller of the two devices instead of the iPad, where any kind of Office app, in my opinion, would be far more functional. So and then you have to set up an Office 365 account in order to use it, which is probably not that difficult to do. But
you know, it... Between the two companies, I would actually suspect that Mac stopped it instead of Microsoft developing for one or the other. Because Mac has the ultimate, whether yes or no, whether it goes into the App Store. And I wonder either that or they're planning like a release schedule so that they get people really wanting it. And then as soon as they release it, they can sell like a billion of them. Just so they can say, oh, now we sold this many in a week.
Yeah, well, you have to get it through the, that may be the case. But you do have to go through or get a subscription, that 365 subscription.
It's web-based. I don't understand what you would need to install. Isn't it? Isn't 365 the web?
For mobile apps, it just makes it a visual.
It's the cloud version where your stuff is stored in the cloud.
Right. And the apps are also, it's like their answer to Google Apps.
Uh-huh. And it's
I don't understand why it doesn't run in the browser. Why doesn't it run in the browser? Oh, Microsoft's an idiot, that's why.
Yeah, well. Anyway, there's no, and according to the article, there's no free version and no iPad edition. So I thought it was kind of a crazy way to approach it. And maybe there's a strategy there that just is eluding us. But it seems to me that you would want it to come out, the first version of it, you'd want it to come out where it is most useful, so people then get kind of hooked into
it. You know what's not eluding us? The fact that Windows 8 is junk. Because, did you see what the, I forget what it is, it's Citigroup's research arm, I forget what it's called. Mm. It's called Citi something.
Okay.
They're huge financial research group.
Yeah.
And they have revised their desktop PC sales estimate this year from -4% to -10%.
Oh.
Solely based on the fact that Windows 8 blows so hard.
Wow. Did they take into account the fact that 8.1 is going to...
Yes. They said 8.1 will have no effect.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's notable.
Yes. From a -4 to a -10. Because the first quarter Windows 8 sales sucked so hard.
And
it's got worse adoption than Vista.
That doesn't surprise me.
Did you think it was possible? I didn't think it was possible to have worse adoption than Vista.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that was one little... I'm glad it elicited some good discussion. The other one I had, and this was something that kind of caught my eye, it was a letter from Larry Page to Google users. Did you see that? You know, and of course, the NSA thing has been just all over the news. Larry yeah. Page sent out a letter to Google users, which I guess is a few hundred billion people, saying that they have not joined any program that would give the U.S. government or any other government direct access to their servers. Sure. Indeed, the U.S. government does not have direct access or a back door to the information stored in our data centers. Well, maybe it's not there, but they're tapped in someplace. And they had not heard of a program called PRISM until yesterday. So anyway, I thought I'm going to have a link to that to the letter in the show notes. I thought it was kind of interesting. The other thing I want to mention, Matt, I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
About what? I was talking to Keith, so I really didn't hear.
You know, said. You know what my thoughts on this is. I've suspected the government's been listening in all the time. Mm-hmm. So
I just assume why they are.
Yeah. So it's not really a big surprise to me.
I assume
it wasn't a big surprise to me.
I always assume they are listening to everything I say on the internet and on my phone and everywhere.
That's right.
Period.
And you know, and it even goes back to
But here's the thing, you should be concerned about it. Are you concerned about it?
There's nothing I can do about it. It's a done deal.
I don't know. I
can see the concern.
The only thing we can do about it at this point is armed revolution. Are you willing to go for armed revolution? Because I'm not at this point. And that's the only thing we can do about it.
It's too ingrained.
The Republicans and the Democrats, both. It is too ingrained. Look at how Obama's saying, you don't need, you want us to prevent terrorism? You don't need your rights.
He didn't say it that way.
Basically, that is what he said.
Well, and then Mike Rogers, head of the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah. It's
Republican. I mean, I agree with
I'm
you.
I'm telling you, they're both lockstep on this. I think... There's no deviation.
I guess I disagree with that there's nothing that we can do. I think...
What are you going to do?
Well, what am I going to do?
You're
going
to shout, and you're going to wave some banners, and it's going to continue on the way it is.
Right. And even if there's protests, and they say it's going to stop, it's not going to stop. It's been hidden for all these years, and it would have never been disclosed until, somebody decides to give up their life and to be able to expose it.
When people are too...
Because it is true. He's going to have to give up his life. Snowden is done. Because... regardless of whether you think he was right or wrong to release that information, by releasing that information, he's now a traitor.
What do you mean he's a traitor?
He's a traitor. He released secret information. He's a traitor.
That's not...
No.
That is not how you define it.
Yes, it is. And that... He...
No.
Did you ever have a security clearance? I'm sure you did.
Yes.
Okay. And when you sign those papers, it says right in those papers that you sign that... you cannot, under penalty of law, disclose any of this information. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that doesn't make him a traitor. That makes him a lawbreaker.
Yeah.
Okay. He's
breaking federal law. Lawbreaker, whatever.
But I think people have gone into the treason, the traitor thing. They've made this big leap over to there. And we just got done saying no one was surprised at this.
Right.
So he reveals it. There's no one surprised.
I'm not surprised, but...
that mic is going to fall.
In my opinion, mm-hmm. that makes him a traitor. Okay?
Well,
and I'm not saying he was wrong. I'm even saying what he did may have been actually right to do.
Important to do.
Mm-hmm. But it still makes him a traitor.
If you go back to the base of our language is based on specific words mean specific things. You can't just say what he did matches all these things, which they all have different definitions. You have to define traitor.
Well, that's the whole thing about legal definition.
What he did was a traitorous act.
But if you define traitor...
During a time of war,
he gave out
military secrets.
War is peace.
But I thought traitor is you give out military secrets to the enemy. So is the public...
publicly announcing these secrets released it to the enemy.
Do you think they didn't know this? They didn't know that.
I'm telling you, it was a traitor's act.
I don't know. And a time of war, you know, it's so convenient that
I actually got to probably get back on track.
I'm sure we can work an open source angle
in here.
This is
Linux, not Linux.
Oh, right, SE Linux, NSA, there we go. That's how we're going to talk about this. I can't wait to get that off my machine because who knows what's in there.
Actually, it's all open source. There's nothing in there.
Right. We all think that.
No,
has anybody
too many
gone
eyes
in and confirmed it?
There's too many eyes on it. There's really nothing.
I don't know. I don't trust it.
SE Linux is nothing to fear.
Okay.
I agree with Matt. I really think
Tony?
That
it's,
no, on,
no, I
on
that
SE
when you
Linux.
Do that. You say that. Just kidding.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I agree with you. I think we need to move on.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Sorry.
I agree with that too. But more along that line, my next story is.
so we can get right back into it.
Actually, no. It's actually a, and I'm going to call it a tool. This is not something necessarily for the toolbox because it's more involved than that. But it this, and I became aware of this from Unix Men.
I know, I do the same thing in my head every time I read that. Every time I read the name of their site.
Unix Men.
Unix Men.
But anyway, it's called RetroShare. And I hang on a second, Matt. You don't even know about it.
Okay.
I emailed, just for the listeners, all four of you, I emailed these guys this week and said, hey, let's test this out ahead of time and then we can talk about it. And I got no takers, so I ended up having to test it myself. So unfortunately, one computer's on the one floor and the other computer's on the other floor, so I installed it on both of them. One's a Windows computer, because it's because of some programs that I can't run in, that are not available in Linux. And the other one is my Kubuntu box upstairs. So I installed it on both of them. What you have to do is you create a PGP key, and you then mail the key to your friends or whoever's going to be participating in this
thing. You mail them the private key, right?
No, you mail them the public key. You're trying to set me up. Yeah, you do that. Just to make sure that everybody is in on it. Yeah, you mail them the private key. You mail them the public key. And so once you do that, and they install RetroShare, then what you've done is you've created a decentralized kind of space, sharing space, for chat, for emails, for file sharing, all sorts of things. It's really kind of like a little ecosphere.
How do emails work? Does it have its own email,
it's a peer-to-peer.
Built-in email server? Or?
Well, see, yeah.
Or is it more like a, is it more like...
He has a jack. He can say this during the show. Yeah. Oh, my hat. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
For those of you who can't see, Mary turned the bill of her hat up so that she looks like Gomer.
All right.
All but anyway. Way.
Yeah.
But is it more
it
like...
It does have.
Is it more like Yahoo Messenger will save your... When you IM someone who's offline, it will save the messages,
mm-hmm.
and then when they get online, deliver them. So is their email more like that?
Yes.
Okay.
It, I mean, it's a complete ecosphere, communication sphere, a retrosphere,
right.
that will enable a group of people. That's why I thought it'd be kind of cool to test, but I ended up doing it myself. So I ended up chatting with myself, running up the stairs. Okay, let's see how this works. I did the email. It works just fine. I had to work a little bit of...
Now, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But... Did you have to generate two keys, one for each machine?
No. Well, here's the thing. One for each user, under the idea that, and it would be one. If I wanted to run this on three machines in my house, each one has their own.
So if we, say, use this at work,
yeah,
I would have to store 75 people's keys on my machine to make this work.
Yeah, there's a little utility. You paste it in there, and then it just... It quote unquote goes away, but it's stored and then is then to authenticate. And again, it's just creating a trusted group of people. It then authenticates that person so that you only, and then you have the ability to share files with various people, various groups.
And how does it find? How does Billy Bob find me when my IP address changes?
Well, you're getting probably into a little more than. I expected to have just a high-level pleasant discussion, you know, and I asked you 3 days ago to test this out. I got that, no, Reddit, no, that's all you said. And I thought, well, okay, then I'll test it myself. Now all the 20 questions come out. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, we ought to just try this and just see how...
All right, I'll give it a shot with you sometime this week.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think I'll try it out.
I'll send my public keys.
I misunderstood what it was. Okay. I apologize.
That's okay. No apology is necessary. I know you're busy. But I did appreciate hearing it. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah, so we'll go ahead and give it a try. But I really liked it. I liked the fact that you can, you know, share stuff.
Because we have to do
It's all encrypted. It's encrypted.
Yeah, I know.
See?
That's what I really like about it. Because we have to do something different at work.
Oh, I should paste this into
the... Right now at work, we use a certain messaging platform that
will remain
you know,
nameless?
There's open source...
That shall remain nameless, and it's hugely insecure.
Yeah.
And you can run your own server. We're testing a Jabber server. We're testing Jabber. Mm-hmm. I think the level 2s are testing Jabber. But we set that in installs. We set all the hardware up for everyone. And we set their testing server for Jabber up 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And have heard boo about it since. So I don't think it's going anywhere.
There's an open source IM client that has a lot of the same features as what your popular stuff has. And it's...
Pigeon.
Not just client. It's server and everything.
Yeah,
and it,
Jabber.
And it integrates.
Oh, Jabber.
No, this
open
is
source?
Jabber. Yeah,
this is.
Oh, okay.
Spark. Spark is the client, and I think OpenFire or something like that is the
OpenFire
is the server.
Isn't that a firewall distribution?
No.
he doesn't know. Say yeah. No, just kidding.
Let me Google it real quick.
All right.
Let me Google that for you.
OpenFire.
Oh,
yeah,
we're going to get to that.
It's called OpenFire Server, and it's by Ignite Realtime. And they have web clients, and they have full version clients called Spark that goes on your computer. And you run your own server, and you can do instant messaging. You can do group chats and everything like that.
It's like Jabber. Jabber
and,
is the same thing.
Right, and I think it actually runs on top
of
Jabber.
Dowdle's going to make you some eggs.
Huh?
He's going to make you breakfast.
Who's going to make me breakfast?
Dowdle. He won't be awake long enough to
anyway.
Get him.
Anyway, so it's a good solution. Actually, we use that at my work.
Oh, and Keith said there's also a BitTorrent Connect system in beta as well. Okay. What's the name? All right. Yeah, I'm hungry too. I think we should continue on. We're going to do a Kickstarter project. We will, Tony, just a second. I got to say this.
All right.
We're going to do a Kickstarter project. Get us a griddle.
Get us a griddle.
And then we can, that'd be good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And we can cook right here in front of everybody.
That's right.
It'll be the SMLR cooking show.
Open source software. We'll somehow work a Raspberry Pi running Raspbian and the timer's on, get the coffee going
there
and all
go.
That. All right, well, we'll move on because we do need to move on.
All right.
Okay.
He said that there is also a BitTorrent Direct Connect system that's in beta.
What did I just say 3 minutes ago?
What? I'm sorry.
She
I was
already
reading
said
the
it.
Chat.
Yeah.
Did you say the same thing?
Yes.
Oops.
Hey, that's all right. That is okay.
You probably were saying it while I was reading it.
Okay. Another thing, too, I was just going to do a quick mention of. You remember a few months ago we talked about OWASP, which is the open web application?
Oh, what?
OWASP.
I did a review of that distro. Nope.
It's a security-related distro. It's the Open Web Application Security Project.
Nope.
Okay. There's a local chapter of it, and you expressed interest in it. Okay. Boy, I tell you, we got to move the start time because we get him after he's done. He's ready to go to bed. All right. Anyway, the reason why I'm mentioning this is they include their top 10 web application security risks. And actually, I look at this and I'm thinking, you know, injection, broken authentication, session management, I guess in the order that they have seen these used or encountered these or cleaned them up or whatever. But it goes from, injection is the first one, all the way down to invalidated redirects and forwards. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I'll put that link in the show notes. Got a couple of others I'll just quickly pass through because I get the feeling that we're running, got to get moving on here. Google Drive gets failing grade on privacy protection. I included that because it's so obvious.
We just at work moved from Dropbox to Google Drive.
You did?
No way.
Is it encrypted?
No.
Why don't you run your own server for that stuff? I mean, you guys are a data center. Wow. Well, own cloud. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. I think you have a suggestion box at work, Matt?
It's only the DC department, too, so
okay.
Maybe the rest of the company doesn't even know we're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep it secret. Oh, anyway, I thought that was kind of, I kind of chuckled at that, thinking, well, who's surprised at this, that it did? And actually, this was in the Linux Advocates website. Oh,
don't get me started on those.
I know, I wanted to say that just so I could get you started in troll mode today. But anyway, I would use Google Drive for stuff like storing music. Dieter, I think.
Oh.
All right, calm down.
Total troll.
All right, but moving on. Let's see here. I've got a couple of KDE Corner things today.
Right.
KDE is shipping their first beta of their Plasma Workspaces applications and platform for KDE 4.11. Someone who shall remain nameless on Google Plus dared me to go ahead and install this.
Wasn't that Tom?
Yes, it was Tom. And I was actually going to do it, and I told him, I said, okay, I'm getting ready to do it. But what I ended up doing is just installing the...
I'm pretty sure he double-dog dared you.
He did. Triple. It was triple. I ended up not doing it only because I got caught up in some other stuff. So I think he wins that one.
What was it again? What were you going to install?
4.11.
It's the beta.
The beta.
Yeah.
Tom Duchesne, because Mary made a post on Google Plus that announced that it was coming or something like
or
that.
Something, yeah.
And Tom Duchesne says, I dare you. I dare you, Mary.
Yeah, so I very cavalier. I said, yeah, I'll take that. Because I figured if it happened on here and it blew up, it just makes my move to BSD a little more quick. But anyway, I ended up updating to 4.10.4. So I didn't go to 4.11. The other thing is that, in the OpenSUSE repositories, by the way, for 4.11, they're going to, they're making a few changes as far as what repository is carrying what. So KDE Distro Factory will now start tracking the 4.11 betas and RCs. KDE Release 4.10 has been decoupled from the KDE. Ooh, that sounds kind of brutal, doesn't it? Been decoupled. From the KDE distro factory. So if you're using 4.10 packages from the factory, you're highly encouraged to move to that repository so that you can kind of keep in sync. So that's something, I'll have a link to that for anyone who's using OpenSUSE, wants to keep up with that. And then I'm going to have a little link to disabling the semantic desktop at runtime, how to do it. It's just a couple little settings and system settings. So that'll be available for people who don't want to run that.
Okay.
And I think I'm wrapping up all my new stuff.
All right.
Tony?
I have one more thing. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention it before, and I don't have it written down, so it won't be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But did either of you see this week, they came out and said why GNOME 3 is now GNOME 3, why they moved away from that GNOME 2 look to that GNOME 3 look?
No, why?
Because of lawsuits from Microsoft over patents for Windows 95.
What?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, for all. Oh.
Because
you're kidding.
The look infringed patents and went from Windows 95. And the reason KDE is exempt, why KDE wasn't sued?
Because they weren't originally open source.
No. Oh. Because OpenSUSE has that patent share deal with Microsoft because they were Novell.
Oh.
Really?
Which protects KDE because it's the default desktop in SUSE.
Wow!
That sounds like a news story to me.
I know. I could only find one source for it, so I didn't want to write an article.
Okay, so it's going in the rumor.
That would have just been a rewording of theirs.
It's going in the rumors and innuendos.
Well,
segment.
No, it's a real news. But yeah. I could only find one source. My rule is three sources. Got to go back to the original news release. Yeah. But it was really, I thought it was quite
interesting. Oh, that is kind of, even if it's not true, that's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Matt. Yeah. Windows 95. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
That's crazy.
I think they should have let themselves get sued. And then just as for the Linux community to contribute, I'd contribute money in defense of that. They could have gotten...
There would be so much prior art.
There would
art.
Be so much...
Look at OS. OS2 had basically the same look anyway.
They didn't grow a pair, as they say. And they should have. They should have sued them.
They should have went for it.
Exactly. Okay. We're going to... I'm sorry, Tony. We were going to turn to your news story.
Actually, I don't know if it's really news.
We'll tell you.
But it's not new news. It's something that I newly found this week.
But it happened 4 months ago.
Yeah. Well, it happened years ago.
Matt's
going to think it's new. You saw what's happened earlier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, we talked a little bit about during the prep of the show that Nine Inch Nails, one of their albums, they released under Creative Commons music. So I'm going to choose a couple of the songs and play it. Not today. It'll be in the future. Because I have a really good one for today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
you're going to have to listen to our outro music. So, it's good. It's good.
But I thought it was really cool. Creative Commons music from Nine Inch Nails, which is a hugely popular band. And
yes.
And I'll have a link in the show notes about it. And they're on... I tried to download it from their website. They have like a buy... and then say, you know, download it for free. And it keeps on hanging every time I try it from there, maybe because it's 5 years old or 7 years old or whatever. But I went to... It's posted on the archive.org website, so I downloaded it from there. So we'll be able to play it.
The whole album?
We could if we wanted to, but I'm not planning on it.
No. Did you download the whole album?
Yes, I downloaded the whole album. So I'm going to listen through the songs and find the ones I like. And
all right.
Yeah. I had no other news.
Okay, well, that's good. That'll double for news as well as part of our outro music discussion.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we're going to move on then.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. Now, this week, you know, every other week we twist it. We twisted it really big time last week, and Tony won.
Yeah. Kicked
my ass.
That's
not
right.
Only won, kicked my ass.
Way to go, Tony. but this week is not twist week, so it's just a straight up, is it alive or dead?
All right.
And so there's no extra credit. Again, this is, you're going to have to really think about your answers. And I know Tony's going to use a strategy there, so he'll best you, Matt. All right, the first one. So, again, very simple, alive or dead. The first one is called MyRinux.
Dead.
MyRinux?
MyRinux.
Mm-hmm. MyRinux, dead.
MyRinux was a smart and centralized operating system for the home. Its main feature was the ability to connect a plasma TV or large LCD system to a central server so you could record and play DVDs, surf the internet on the big screen. I do that now with Ubuntu. anyway, so it's dead.
All right.
The next one is Frog Linux.
Dead.
Frog Linux.
Yeah, I'll go dead.
Frog Linux is...
Oh, is it French?
Is a Quebec operating...
Oh, it is! It's French!
Yes, from the website, our real innovation is to provide you with the... And again, I had to translate. With the benefits of Linux and Ubuntu by adding a Quebec personality, by adding visual elements representing Quebec, and making sure our site isn't 17th century French. No, I added that last part.
Oh,
well, because the Quebec version of French
is antiquated.
Very antiquated. Oh. Because, you know, you think about it, when the French came over in the 18th century, I think it was, or 17th and 18th century, to that part of the New World, the French over there hasn't really evolved like it has in France. And so it's kind of interesting. So it's alive. The next one is Dyson Linux. Dyson.
Alive.
Just like the vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, there was going to be a joke there, but yeah, I took it. No. Well, that sucks.
Dead.
He took my joke. That sucks.
I'm sorry.
Get it? You get it?
Yeah,
that was
the
joke.
I get it.
Okay. All right. You say dead. What do you say?
I said alive.
Dyson Linux is...
Ooh.
a general purpose operating system. It's a Debian derivative using the Illumos kernel, libc, and
using the what?
Illumos kernel, Illumos kernel. Check it out. There is a kernel there. And the SMF init system. So it is alive. So, Tony, you said alive.
Yeah. Is that what the high-end vacuums run on?
Yeah, that's the, yeah, you marry a Roomba to a Dyson, and that's the operating system. All right, the next one is called Mundus OS.
Alive.
Dead.
Mundus OS is an extension to Ubuntu, which is easier to use for a new Linux user. Mundus can, again, I had to translate this because this is not the default language, can install Windows programs, mount Macintosh DMGs, which are the, you know, the Mac programs, and install packages of other non-Debian Linux distributions, and is meant to be out of the box.
All right.
I'll have to get a link to that, but that was alive. And you said alive, Tony?
I did.
And he said dead?
I did.
Wow, Matt, you're just...
I am. It's, you know, it's unfair because I'm so tired.
It's unfair? No, it's. I'm turning it upside down because I'm answering first.
Yeah, that's right. So you're going with your first impression. The next one is called Intuitive Linux.
Alive.
At this point, I just have to go opposite, so I'm going to say dead.
Intuitive. The Intuitive Project is... Intuitive Linux is... an open source project. It says, and actually the project, in order to build a powerful and easy to use operating system, this project is open to everyone, whether you're a PhD in computer science or an elementary student. All that matters is your ideas. And I don't think they've had any releases, or they've had one. I think they had one release. I believe it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down. It's dead.
Oh.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. It was off my screen. So, Matt...
I gained one back. I only lost by one.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Tony. I apologize for that. It was off my screen, and I just did this at the last minute.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all right.
Biatics.
Ooh. I could tie it up.
Biatics?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay alive.
I got to go opposite because I got to try for the tie. Dead.
Biatics was...
Oh.
A Canopics-based Linux Live CD with support for the Catalan language, Catalonia and Spain. There was one release, 1.0, in November of 2003.
Wow.
So it was dead.
Did you know
that's old.
That when they want to study true Catalan Spanish,
yeah,
they go to this town in California because it's very isolated up in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and they speak still, to this day, true Catalan Spanish. Castilian Spanish.
Really?
Yes.
In college, one of my Spanish teachers was from Pamplona in Spain, and she spoke with that Spanish accent, I mean, from Spain. And there's kind of like this, the C has more of a TH sound to it. So instead of saying Valencia, they'd say Valencia. It's just kind of weird. So, anyway. All right, so I guess it was a tie. And that's the way it should be. You know, both of you guys fought hard and you tied. So join us next week for another edition of
Is It Alive?
All right.
Hey.
Now,
we've got a little listener feedback next.
Yes.
But
yes, we do.
We've got
a little listener
that wants to come in and give us a little feedback.
That's right. And the little listener's got a little penguin shirt on.
Yeah, she's got her penguin
That's
shirt.
Right. Hi.
I
want to
say, actually, the penguin shirt's from my friend Andy.
Yeah.
Say, look at the camera's up there.
You see the little camera up there?
Show me your shirt.
And that's cute. Tux's in a diaper.
Yeah. Oh, what'd you bring me?
Okay.
Oh, you were on the microphone. What'd you bring me? Is this? It's a flash drive. That's a bottle opener.
Oh,
that is very cool.
That's right. That's right. Happy Father's Day.
And this is my son Jonah. Oh, a little USB charger. Cool.
Ooh.
And then one for the car and one for the house.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
Wow.
Wow. What else? I guess this is Father's Day right now for me.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll be out of here soon.
I just thought it'd be fun for him to open it during the show.
Yeah. Sure. That's great. So
there's a picture of Superman on the card and it says, "You lead the way. You save the day. You're strong as you can be."
All right, Tony.
"You're an awesome dad who does so much and does it awesomely."
Cool.
"Happy Father's Day." Thank you, guys. It says, "We love you, Alex and Jonah."
Excellent.
And I can see Alex. Is that where you signed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Can you give me a picture? Oh, very cool.
That's listener feedback. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. Thank you for the picture, you guys.
Okay. Don't let Daddy finish his show.
All right. I love you guys. I'll see you in a little bit, okay? Say, Alex, okay. Say bye to Matt and Mary.
Bye-bye. Bye. See you when we're leaving in a little bit.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Dude. Oh, that's cool. Look at all that cool stuff.
Yeah. Ooh. I really like the flash drive.
It's cool. Man, that's
a 16.
Best 16 gig,
16
too?
Gig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, when we have our, guess we should take that when you
what
have
you
this.
What you do, that is so that when you're drunk, you've got your rescue CD right there. And you can really F shit up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That is
very
all
right. Cool.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140. And we had a couple
of... Kay Wisher just joined the chat, and I asked him if his butt server was down, and he said, "Oh, crap."
his butt server.
Oh, that
and
sounds...
he said, "Sorry, started doing a hardware change yesterday."
Okay, well, there, that explains it. That explains it. So...
Well, okay. I think we should demand our money back. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, let's do.
Our free hosting of live broadcasting. Well, we appreciate it. And
yes.
One downtime do. Out of everything we've done so far, yeah. It's better than our website.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
Which is going to be moving, I think.
I'm hoping. I've got to
look for it.
The office people are in Monday, and I'll talk
yeah.
to him Monday.
Okay, so. That sounds good.
Yeah, we're looking for some a sponsor for a new web hosting. So,
well, we're going to have to pay for it. But I think $10 a month split three ways is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should do a Kickstarter. Or a listener,
oh,
a listener can, we'll contribution.
We'll get it taken care of. All right, well, let's go down with our stuff so we can wrap it up. And
yep.
All right.
And free Tony to
Do we actually have listener feedback?
We did. I had some from...
We did? I got some... we got some from...
Michael W. Lucas.
Yep. Go ahead,
what'd
Matt.
He say?
Who was the author of the OpenBSD book I reviewed, said...
Yep.
Said he liked the review, he... Can't wait to hear the second half of the review, and he wants to come on the show to talk about it. So
all right. We're going
to try and arrange that. And then he also told us, by the way, the ID command tells you which group users are members of in BSD. It also works in Linux. I tried it.
Okay, very good. So. Yeah, we want to get him on here, and we'll kind of rearrange the show so that we can have a nice chunk of time to talk to him.
Yeah. Are we going to do, like, in another 2 months will be the other half, or?
Yeah, would you get reading on it so he can hear the other half and come on the show? We want to report each week.
I have not read any more of it.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think if we have a date for a goal, then maybe
that'll
give you a little bit
six
of motivation.
Hey, maybe I should read the last half of it. That would be kind of scary. All right, well, the other listener feedback that we got was from Michael, And he is the author of the Linus tool that we talked about, which is that security testing tool. And he appreciated the fact that he enjoyed listening to our talk about it, and he also said, well done with the pronouncement of it.
And now we can't remember how we pronounced it.
And now we got to go back and listen to it.
Because we can't remember.
We have to go back and find out. But anyway, but we were happy to talk about it because it was a pretty cool tool. So.
Yeah.
And we also got some feedback from Scott Dowdle.
All right.
Who told me what, because remember I couldn't contribute to IPCalc or IPCalc discussion because it wasn't on Fedora.
Mm-hmm.
The Fedora version is called SipCalc.
Oh, all right.
So I installed it and checked it out.
What do you think?
It sucked.
The SIP calc?
Yes.
And right. There is a yum install for it?
Yes.
All right.
All right. And he still didn't like it.
Sorry. Bah humbug.
Okay. All right. So that, that's good to know that it's available. Okay, what else?
And we also had some feedback from...
Kitties and walkie-talkies?
Right. Yeah, kitties and walkie-talkies.
I went spam. In and deleted a lot of the spam comments. I don't know if you saw
Thank
that
you.
Or not. I'm more than happy to go in there and delete them.
You know, we get takedown notices because people think we control the content on the sites. We get
Nexus does? Not us. Not Sunday
right,
morning.
Right, Nexus.
Yeah.
And we got one last night because this Horrorbid,
mm-hmm.
We host Horrorbid.com. And they have a forum section in their forums. All these inane posts are there, and the link is part of the
post
subject of their post.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah. I took a look at the Windsor Unix.
And it's not really spam. It's SEO stuff. It's
it's
bogue SEO.
Okay.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Link bait or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, not really link bait. That's something else, but...
Oh, we're trying to stick the link out there so SEO gets
higher. Right. So that they get all these link backs to their website, but like Google and everybody's cracking down on that kind of
good. Good.
All right.
All right, so any other listener feedback?
Bryce.
Oh, yes. I remember the name.
Yes.
I remember Bryce.
He said, as well as the usually great Linux-related content of this episode, I want to thank you for the musical selection. I have downloaded the entire album and have been listening to it over and over ever since.
Yeah, and that was the song that you suggested, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh,
before last.
Yeah, that's
the,
right.
The Diablo Orchestra or whatever, swing orchestra. Yeah,
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good music.
He dug
good.
It.
I'm glad Bryce liked that.
He dug it hard.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. I guess that's about it.
And I don't see anything else.
Yeah, I think, I'm going through chronologically, and I saw the Michael email about Linus, mm-hmm. but we already talked about it.
Yep.
So I think
that's about it.
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, I guess we're...
Featured Music of the Week.
The music this week is called I'm Not Your Personal IT Guy. I heard somebody else playing it. And then when I went on, it's on the FUMP website, and it's by Devo Spice, and it's a very funny song.
And so it is an actual battle. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's called I'm Not Your Personal IT Guy.
Click on help. Call someone else. Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help. Call someone else. Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help. Call someone else. Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help. Call someone else. Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. I'm not your damn personal IT guy. I get no peace, but at least now I see why you ask me about computers. Apparently I'm the only person who knows how to turn the damn things on. Oh look, you can't configure your Outlook again. Well, maybe you should write the settings down, my friend. But that might require a little effort from you. And Mr. Big Shot has more important things to do. It's fine if I have to explain it one time. But we're at number 29 and I'm losing my mind. So I'll just drop.
drop everything. Deadlines be damned. Then explain again, although I know you'll never understand. Close all of those windows. Let's begin. Click on this, click on that. Now put your password in. See, you don't need to be a total whiz. No, I don't know what your password is. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Why are your problems automatically mine? No, it's fine. I'm nothing better to do with my time. But it's not like I ask you every day for help when I make a dookie and I can't wipe myself. So what were you trying to do when the error appeared? Then I curse cause it's even worse than I feared. I see your PC is an ancient jalopy and you're trying to copy a DVD onto a floppy. First of all, where'd you even get a floppy disk? Cause really, I didn't think those things still exist. Secondly, I don't want to be a spoil sport, but that's an Ethernet cable. That's a USB port. If you buy something new and don't know how to hook it up, it doesn't make you less of a man to look it up. You claim you're not an idiot, well prove me wrong and stop giving me more material for this song. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself.
Hey Tom, I was wondering if you could help me out. I picked up a PC on eBay and got a great deal. It's a Pentium II with 16 MB of RAM, whatever that is, and it's running at 120 MHz. Is that fast? And I want to see about installing Windows 7 on it. Can you help me out with that?
Bill Gates can help.
Anyway, I got a really great deal on it.
You got ripped off.
So I bought some songs from the Windows Media Store, and I can't get them onto my iPhone. I was wondering if you could help me with that. Also, I'm working with some pictures I took. I downloaded Photoshop from this website I found, and I can't find the red eye reduction button. Do you know where it is? Oh, and while I was on that website, I got an alert that my PC was infected with a virus. So I clicked on it, and I downloaded a bunch of software. So I should be protected now, but my PC seems to be running awfully slow all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, now you're infected.
I was wondering if you can give me a hand with that. Give me a call when you get this, okay? Thanks, Tom.
I most certainly will not. It happens every day and I can't get away, cause they follow me around like a dog who wants to play. I know when my phone rings my day will be wrecked, when my boss says,
Tom, can I see you for a sec?
A second rapidly becomes an hour and a half. I would laugh, but I'm not part of the IT staff, so I don't know what I'm doing. I just click around and curse and pray to various gods that I don't make the problem worse. Funny how I said before this day was gonna drag. Now I'm working quick cause his cologne is making me gag. He says I have to fix it and it can't wait till later, and somehow it's my fault he never backed up his data. There's still a couple quirks and it's making me berserker. Damn it, Jim, I'm a Mac, not a miracle worker. And when I finally fix every problem he ever had, my uncle calls asking about his son's leap pad. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself. Click on help.
Call someone else.
Or figure out how to freaking Google it yourself.
So tell us about that, Matt.
What?
Google it yourself.
No, let me Google that for you.
Oh.
Let me Google that for you. Yeah, that is a
it's
funny
a website.
Website.
It's called Let Me Google That For You, where you type in your search, and then you click it, and it'll give you a link, and then you send that link to the person, and it says, Let Me Google That For You, and it shows the search being typed into Google, and then
yeah,
it redirects
like
to the,
a little
to the web search.
You should have done it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right.
All right. So I guess that's the end of a show.
Yeah.
About time.
The end of
Jeez.
A show. Okay. Not necessarily the show,
the
but
show.
It's the end of a show.
Right. All right. Yeah, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This was episode 88.
Happy Father's Day.
Nice
gift you got there, too.
Thank you. Yeah. This is Tony Demas.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying have a good week. See you next week.
See ya.
All right.